Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, yesterday we ended the broadcast talking about Christ's encounter with the rich young ruler and his command to the rich young ruler, or his instructions to the rich young ruler in regard to the Ten Commandments, some of which Christ quoted to him. He didn't quote them all, but that in response to the rich young ruler's question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, you know the commandments. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, and so forth. And the young man said, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What do I still lack? Well, strange encounter, strange exchange to our way of thinking. That wouldn't be the way that we would present the gospel, would it? But that's the way Jesus did. And Jesus never did anything wrong. Jesus never said the wrong thing. Jesus never committed any error in anything that he said or did. He is the sinless, perfect Son of God. Everything he says is truth. Everything he says either is or becomes the Word of God. He said it. He is God. So it behooves us to understand it, even if it requires some real stretching, mental exercise, some bending, some twisting, some effort in order to get our minds around what Jesus is talking about. And so please join me on this Thursday, October 21 edition of the Beacon Broadcast as we continue pursuing this matter. And thanks to those whose financial gifts make it possible for us to maintain the program on this station. Now I've got to work my way backward a little bit to tell you how I got to where I am so that we can continue. And we are in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and Paul is talking about suffering in verse 12, and he says, for this reason I also suffer these things. And he's talking about the suffering that he is enduring for the sake of Christ. And I'm suggesting to you that what Paul is talking about is really what all of us should be talking about. Namely, all of us should understand that suffering goes with salvation. It's part of the package. This is what Christ is talking about when he talks about counting the cost and other similar representations of what it means to become a follower of Jesus Christ. In other words, what it means to become a Christian. And this part of the message of the kingdom, or the message of salvation, or the message of the gospel, however you want to put it, is often omitted and is largely misunderstood. We were looking at the parable of the pearl of great price that Christ talked about in Matthew chapter 13, who said, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And I'm trying to explain what that means. That this pearl of great price, who is Jesus Christ, is acquired by the merchant selling all that he has and buying that pearl with the proceeds of this sale, where he sells everything he has. What is that all about? That's strange language. And I suggested to you that Christ's encounter with the rich young ruler will help explain this if we'll work our way through that encounter. And so that's where we were when we left the air yesterday, and we'll take it up at that point today. And I'm assuming that you are familiar enough with the account of the rich young ruler that I don't have to read the scripture. but I can merely work my way down through it, and you will know that I am telling you that this is exactly what took place in the encounter. This is what Jesus said. He said, keep the commandments. The ruler said, I've kept them all, which of course we know is not true. Now, before I go on, let me pause to ask the question, why did Jesus offer the commandments as the way of salvation? Well, he didn't offer them as the way of salvation, but he offered them as a way to get the young ruler to think properly about salvation. He asks, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Christ wants him to understand that he can't do anything, so he brings up the law as a way of showing him his spiritual bankruptcy. But the rich young ruler is so self-righteous that he doesn't think he's broken the law. Well, there's no way to bring a man like that to saving faith in Christ. Now, those in our day, he would say, oh, don't worry about that. Don't worry about sin. Don't worry about breaking the commandments. We've all done that. Don't worry about that. Just admit you're a sinner. Pray this prayer. Ask Jesus into your heart, and you'll be saved eternally. Don't understand the gospel. Nobody comes to Christ in true saving faith until they feel the weight of their sin, until they see themselves as sinners, great sinners, big sinners, bad sinners, hell-deserving sinners. That's what Christ was doing with the law. It's good to preach the law. We're not saved by the law. The law wasn't given to save us. The law was given to show us that we can't save ourselves. By endeavoring to keep the law and failing, we realize, I can't do it. I'm unable. I can't keep God's law. I can't produce the required righteousness. I can't please God. Right. Good. Now you're getting somewhere. And now you realize why you need a Savior. Now you realize why you need a substitute. Jesus Christ died, first lived in the place of sinners, keeping the law that we failed to keep, earning the righteousness that we did not earn, though it was required of us, and then died on the cross to pay the penalty for those who break the law. And we must understand this. It's more than just repeating a little prayer and say, I believe Jesus died on the cross, rose again from the dead, was buried and rose again. I believe the gospel. I'm asking Jesus into my heart. I'm saved. Have you ever felt the weight of your sin? Do you really understand why you need to be saved? Are you viewing this prayer, asking Jesus into your heart, as life insurance, eternal life insurance, a ticket to heaven? You can stick it in your pocket, and now you don't have anything to worry about. You can live as you please, and you'll go to heaven when you die. Dear friend, that is a myth. That is a deception. You don't understand. Please pay attention to how Jesus dealt with the rich young ruler. Christ, the perfect, sinless Son of God, who never makes a mistake, he started with this young man by reminding him of the law. But that didn't move the conversation forward because, as we've already seen, the young man mistakenly thought he'd kept the law. Had he? No. Did he think so? Yes. What incredible blindness. What incredible self-righteousness. This is going to be hard to dislodge. So what did Jesus do next? He said, go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me. And the young man went away sorrowing because he had great possessions. He wasn't willing to do that. Again, we scratch our heads and say, that's not much better than the first answer. In our thinking, first, in the answer to the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus points to the law. That looks like the wrong answer to us. Then, when the rich young ruler claims to have kept the law, Jesus tells him to sell everything and give away all of his substance, and in that way he can be saved. Come follow Christ, and that way he'll be saved. That doesn't look like the right answer to us either. Salvation isn't obtained by buying it. It isn't obtained by selling everything you have and giving to the poor. It isn't obtained by good works. What's Christ doing here? Well, he's showing the rich young ruler that he has not kept the Ten Commandments, because he certainly hasn't kept the last one, thou shalt not covet. His possessions mean more to him than Christ. He's showing him that he has an idol. He has something in his life that means more to him than Christ. He's showing him that the only way to truly believe in Christ, the only way to come to Christ, the only way to have Christ, the only way to follow Christ, the only way to have Christ as your Savior is to give up yourself. All of you. Whatever that means in your particular situation. In this young man's situation, he had a lot of possessions, and that obviously was the main issue in his life. That meant more to him than Christ. That's the thing he wasn't willing to divest himself of. And therefore, he went away lost. It wasn't that selling his goods and giving to the poor was the way that he would earn or merit salvation. It is that doing so, or refusing to do so, demonstrated that he wasn't willing to come to Christ. Because there is a cost. You see, we're talking about the cost. Counting the cost. We're back to explaining this parable in Matthew chapter 13, of the merchant man who went and sold all that he had to buy the pearl of great price, esteeming that pearl of great price, which is Christ, as more valuable than anything else. That's what the rich young ruler didn't do and wouldn't do. He wouldn't value having Christ as worth more than all his possessions. Well, if you're not at that place, then you're not ready to receive Christ. It's not that we keep the law in order to earn salvation. We can't. But it is that we recognize our sinfulness and inability and come to Christ in that repentant, humble frame of mind. It's not that we can give up our possessions and in that way buy salvation or earn it. It's not that at all. But it is that we must value Christ more than anything else until we are brought to the place, brought low, brought down, brought to conviction by the Spirit of God, brought to hate our life, to hate our possessions, as it were, to hate everything about us and want nothing more than we want Christ. Until we're brought to that place, we're really not ready to receive Christ. We are not going to follow him. We're not going to trust him. We're not going to really believe in him, in the biblical sense of that term. Sure, we can pray a prayer and make a profession, but that's not the same as true heart faith. And this explains to us what true heart faith is all about. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood of the Lamb. Absolutely there is. Come to Christ, and he will cleanse you. He will free you. He will pardon you. But you don't come to Christ without letting loose of who you are. We'll talk about it again on the broadcast, Lord willing, tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.